Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are trying to stop the ascent of the City of the Deep Ones. Caddy can't swim, so he tried to team up with the aquatic monsters. Richter recognized that Migos were attacking their enemies, and Red tried to protect Caddy, only to find herself facing an evil version of the late Adrian Diesel. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
A tall, handsome, tuxedoed figure with jet black eyes and long, pointed teeth strides confidently out of the hovering pack of Migos, and a grin stretches an unnatural width across his features. Red, Richter, you of course recognize the form of Adrian Diesel. What do you do?
I mean, Red's instinct is to... My instinct would be to run to him. Not with the purpose of reuniting, but being like, this is not right. This is clearly evil. Holy shit, what have they done to them? He must be destroyed.
I think with Richter's failed role so many episodes ago, where now he's convinced that Addy is not that cat, he would maybe be looking to see if that's Adrian Diesel. Both in form and in spirit.
Okay. How How would you like to look, Richter?
I think I'd want to observe him. Like he's walking amongst these Migos.
Yeah. So the Migos, in the dramatic moment, I perhaps didn't describe this clearly, and or we were all panicking. It's a little of both, probably. the Migos, which you'll remember, are Viglian sectoid. Honestly, it's so fucking dumb. The best visual comparison I have is like a more insectoid version of whatever the fuck Darkseid's guys are in Justice League.
Like terror demons or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Parademons.
Yeah. So in that ballpark, but much more insectoid features, so, you know, like much more hunched, kind of a Cronenberg fly-esque shit going on. Two of them basically like lowered him down into this. You would recognize from where you are now that the figure you saw kind of being carried, the object being carried in earlier by them is Adrian.
Okay. To see him not fighting the Migos, I think would be concerning and cooperating with them. I think Richter would try to hide.
Okay. So Red, your instinct is to go find out what the fuck's going on. Yes. Richter, you're going to hide. Both of you have that sort of moment of horror and indecision that was so beautifully captured on camera at the end of last episode. But there's one of you who has not yet seen him, but is starting to get a sense of it. Caddy, from your hiding place beneath the stairs, the sort of like those metal steps that you hid under previously, from the deep one hybrids and just straight up deep ones, you see the man you remember vaguely from the liminal space between this world and the next that you encountered in the depths of the Egyptian tomb. It would seem that your past self walks among the Migos. What's going through your head?
So does Adrian look obviously spooky or dazed or just normal?
His eyes are jet black. And he has long pointed teeth.
Yeah.
Pulled back in one of those like fucking like
Baraka? Like is that
yeah, in a Baraka. Yes. Wow, okay. Yeah, so in like serious. A Baraka smile.
Oh, I'm looking that up.
I think Caddy would just be going to stuff like, oh no, I'm bad now. Oh, but he's so strong. Stay hidden, Caddy. Stay hidden and no one will find you.
I mean, that sounds like a good time to drop some dice there, homie. So let's roll to see if you can stay out of sight of Adrian Diesel.
Okay, so this would be stealth, I imagine?
Yes, sir. I'm always shocked that there isn't just a straight hide in this game.
Hmm.
But
that is an extreme success. I rolled a 7.
Ooh, hell yeah.
All right, so you feel our dear sweet friend Addie's eyes, despite their lack of pupils or irises or anything that can indicate where they're looking, you feel their gaze pass over you. And they fully see you, but they don't react in the slightest. Red, if you were there, this would perhaps be the most disturbing feature of this Adrian so far. There's a perfectly good sprinkles, and there's no recognition or care on Adrian's eyes. The deep ones are falling back slightly, moving kind of where they were sort of like moving in on Caddy. The explosion of one's head and the sort of laser shots being fired by the Migos are forcing them back. Time suddenly speeds right the fuck back up. You've had that kind of moment where everything fell away. But now suddenly the battle that is still occurring is the deep ones throw tridents and spears with like alarming accuracy. They're getting more kills than the Migos are with their laser weapons, but laser weapons have more shots than thrown range weapons. So the deep ones are beginning to fall back a ways in panic and horror as Adrian strides forward. Red, you wanted to move in to see what's going on. Are you like rushing out into the open? Are you trying to sneak up? What's this approach look like?
So torn between what I should do and what I want to do.
What you're about to do?
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, like this is broken, full on broken, her already very tenuous brain right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's just like, how dare they do whatever they did to my friend? And that just kind of takes over. And I feel like she's just going to make a beeline and whatever the fuck gets in her way is getting cut down.
Okay. Grabbing, and you're armed right now with I believe you found a weapon last session, correct?
Did.
You had a shotgun, but you discovered you're not as good with it. You're not as good with it as with your pistols. So I think you went back to pistols. Okay.
I think regardless, heading into something that is so really for like a non for very secular character, probably as close to blasphemy as as there can be for you is the sight of your friend in this form. You grab the weapon's most comforting to you. The weapon's most familiar to you. So grabbing, clasping your skeletal fingers around one and your fleshy meat hand around the other, you begin to rush towards Adrian. Can you roll me a firearms handgun check, please? Mm-hmm. There are Migos between you and Adrian, but they're very distracted by the battle with the Deep Ones.
That is a hard success.
Hard success. All right. So you easily, brutally gun down two of these Migos who are aimed away. The second one begins to turn, but you're close enough that it's almost such a stupid reference. It's almost a gun kata from Equilibrium in that you're just like, you're so close that you're practically punching them because you're just walking through the crowd and they are so distracted with what's going on that it's kind of like when the second guy is turning, he's turning into the barrel as you pull the trigger. The Migos fall away. Others start to turn, but again, the Deep One's assault is so vitriolent that they can't fully take their attention away. You're close to Addy. You can see his broad shoulders held with a confidence and an arrogance that he never had in life. And at that point, he suddenly darts forward, and it's almost as though you've got water in your eyes. He moves at a blur. He's so quick. And you watch in horror as dark black spiked talons burst from the flesh of his hand as he rips into the heart of a Deep One, kind of like raises it high, pops claws from his other hand and slashes its face to ribbons before tossing it down and striding forward. There's a cry that goes up from the Migos of exultation and joy. As they continue their assault, Red, you kind of stumble to a stop based on both Claire and I think Red's expression at this, and you find yourself standing amidst the Migos, who are now very aware that you are here as Adrian storms forward and continues to slay.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Caddy, you observe the fish people getting just right sliced up by evil you. What do you do?
Knowing where Richter came from, Caddy, I think at this point with the distraction would make a break, or sorry, where Red had exited from, he would know Richter was there. Like he would imagine you guys had stayed together. So he would book it kind of sneakily right towards Richter. And then when he found you there, he'd be like, we need to get a boat because we have to swim. We have to get out there and I'm not good at swimming, but I have the ash. So if you could steal a boat, we could go and make the whole castle go away.
Yes. Good. Have you seen a boat?
Well, it's the docks, right? So like, just, I don't know, over there, just going to point in a random direction. Tom, do we see a boat?
There are docks. The deep ones have cleared them, in their preparation. There would have to be small dinghies and things around, even if they're just in storage. You haven't seen any, but you also haven't really been looking too closely because the last real good look you got was like right before a guy's head exploded. Also, I will point out that, Addy, as you try to point, you literally just like in your head, it's a very clear gesture, but you actually just pop a claw with your paw. And it's just like in a vague, like nothing direction for Richter. But Richter, you know, the small demon is also just inaccurate. Of course they are. This is the way of such things.
Yeah.
We can look for one. I'm good at looking.
Where is Red gone?
Red's fighting all the monsters with guns and I can't do that. And I think if you do that, you'll die because you're old.
But Red will not last long on her own.
But if we break the castle, then all the bad stuff goes away. Remember when the thing eating you exploded? It's because I did the castle.
Does that track? Does that make sense to me?
Yeah, that is kind of what happened. Although you also blew stuff up from the inside. But I think Richter... here, let me come at it from this direction. That scene was chaos.
Yeah.
So you may be unaware of like exactly what did what and what was effective. What you do know is the Nexus point has been torn open. And so making these specific mythos monsters go away might be possible. It might not. But either way, if you have any hope of closing the Nexus point, the blood building's got to go. So I don't have a specific yes, no for you on this. Okay. I think for Richter, it's kind of a matter of, I guess you need to gauge how far are you willing to go to try and stop the invasion as opposed to defeat these monsters. Because also, I don't actually think Richter is 100% certain that any of the items he got will work. Like, you got real lucky with the mouth box. Like, the mouth jar really, really worked. But I kind of, I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of took this as a bit of a, like, the Ghostbusters before they found a ghost, being like Egon's like, all of this stuff checks out and it will work. But, like, they hadn't tested anything. Like, none of it could, like, all of it could have been complete bullshit.
Yeah.
But he was just like, I'm certain. So it's kind of up to you, I think, where Richter would, where his beliefs would fall on this.
All right, well, be quick about it. We must find a boat quickly. Red will not hold out much longer.
I know, I'm going to be so fast. I just want to take off at like a cat sprint. In that like Keanu kitten one, you know, where it's a little clumsy, but it's super fast anyways, in like a slow-mo, but it's really fast.
Cool, yeah. You get a bit of the Michael Bay Transformer thing where like one of the Transformers leaps through the air as like bullets and stuff are whizzing, except you're a clumsy cat, as, you know, ray gun blasts fire around you, tridents, you know, zip by in slow motion. Ryan, can you roll me? I think we'll go with a dodge for this. Seems about right.
Sure.
Every time we do anything like this, my eyes are immediately drawn to track. And I don't know why my brain is so insistent that that's track and field.
All right. I am going to burn 6 luck to make it a success.
Ooh. This is the time. All right. So yes, slow motion running through. forgive me, Caddy, your goal here is to
find a boat. Yep. I can get Richter to. So obviously if it's in the middle of the war zone, it's not the best boat, but I'll settle.
Well, the good news is like Red is pretty exposed, but because she started shooting people. If you guys are just doing the stealthy, like run from thing to thing situation, your odds of getting through are actually pretty high. Cause again, Addy's being pretty distracting, as he's like to do. Okay, cool. So, Caddy, you successfully make it. Are you looking along the shore, or are you going to try and search buildings nearby?
Probably the buildings, because if he's looking for it, he needs something that's like ready to go. If he goes to the shore, we better spend like a half hour unpacking someone's yacht. Like, this is no. We need to be able to like hit gas, pull out Michael Bay style.
Right. Okay, cool. So can you roll me I think we'll go with a spot hidden.
Sounds good.
Because I think we'll take that less as the boat is hidden, which would be complete bullshit, but more as a like running past as a cat and like climbing up windows and just trying to see how successful you are in the first few. It's not that you aren't seeing things. Oh, damn. You are definitely seeing things. all right. So you have to check a couple windowsills because life's a bitch that way. But you do see... looks like a small kind of like harbor patrol. So they have like a boat that is, you know, relatively, actually looks like a fairly fast vehicle for the 1930s. Yep, it's rigged up. It's ready to go. There is a guy in a gray harbor patrol uniform on his knees. With his hands clasped behind his head and two deep ones, kind of like one of them is investigating, kind of like peering out if you're coming in from sort of the side window, he's kind of looking out the front. And the other one is doing that guard thing where you're not really sure if guarding the person is what you should be doing anymore because shit's happening outside. These are usually the thugs that Batman drops down on where it's like, I thought I heard something out there. It's like, no, we'll stay here. It's like, well, the boss told us to guard this one guy. So that's kind of what you're seeing. But yes, this definitely looks like a boat. More importantly, because it is for emergencies, like this thing would be easy to get up and going.
I'm going to wave Richter towards me because I don't think as a cat I can take two guards.
Richter, can you roll a spot hidden, please? I'll give you advantage because you were watching for him. So you can roll your tens twice.
You... it doesn't matter. They both fail. I rolled high on both.
So I'm imagining like a Kermit the Frog-esque like cat leaping in the air waving situation. Richter, what has distracted you that means you cannot see Addy, even though you're looking for him?
I think sticking his head out the doorway in the rain, wanting to check on Red while also tracking this cat and seeing that moment that occurred earlier of Nega Addy fucking Mortal Kombat fatality move someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. That's fair.
I think I'm just completely shocked by that.
Yeah. That's a legit thing to be shocked by. So Caddy, looking on in terror, the terror that only like a heroic boy detective can feel when the harsh reality of sets in, you find yourself alone with the two guards and the harbor patrolman. Red, you see Addy tear forward and eviscerate one of the deep ones. His smile grows wider, if that's even possible. And he just says, all of you shall bow down before me, obviously. And then he throws the corpse at one. Someone throws a trident, which he doesn't catch so much as puts a hand up, takes the trident through the hand, breaks it off, and then puts it through the face of the tosser. And he proceeds to just start killing deep ones the way he always said he wanted to. And now truly he is with occasional cries of bow down and worship. As he begins to paint the harbor with the blood of the deep ones. That said, a few of the Migo are turning towards you. You have caused a bit of a ruckus and shot a couple of their friends. And in your mind, you can hear one of them just say,
I think she is one from the store. And another says, yes, yes, the store one. Fire!
And they're going to open up on you. Can you roll me a dodge, please?
Yes, I can. That is a hard success.
I mean, if there's a time to roll one. All right. So you, Red, would you throw yourself to the ground or would you try and like roll out of the way?
I think she's not, I think she would just full on squat duck.
Okay, cool.
She's got both pistols and I just think she just wants to go down and up and.
Right. Just... Yeah. Like you're playing Time Crisis, you know, you just, someone yeah. stepped on the pedal and you just went down and you came back up. Yeah. Great. Love it. All right, cool. So you dodge the shots, you come back up. What is your plan?
My plan is to get Adrian's attention, but if I'm actively being shot at, that's going to be difficult. So I would probably like to take out these two who are targeting me first.
Okay. Cool. I will warn you, fair warning, shooting two of these guys in the back of the head while they weren't really paying attention, pretty good. Now that these sort of like six-legged, hunched over creatures are aware, they will not be so easy to dispatch.
I see. Okay.
I don't think Red would necessarily clock that. No. Letting you know as a player, in case you're disappointed at what happens next.
Fair enough. I heed your warning and casually ignore it in her rage. And I think, yeah, how far is Adrian from me right now?
After he dashed forward, he's, I don't know, probably 20 feet away.
Okay. Then I think she would fire simultaneously on both Migos to the best of her ability and just scream Adrian Diesel at the top of her voice while doing it.
All right. Go ahead and fire.
All right. That is a regular success.
Regular success. All right. Oof.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
You can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else. So do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
That is a fumble on my part. I rolled very, very high. So you definitely peg one of them.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, you're firing on two?
Yes.
She
was doing that cool thing where she's got like both guns outstretched and she's not looking at either one and just assume that it's going to hit them.
I mean, look, I talked about equilibrium earlier. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's okay, just people holding guns in cool ways. That
exactly.
Don't make sense.
Probably sideways. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like the gun kata from Equilibrium.
Exactly. Like Equilibrium.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of Equilibrium?
No.
Never mind then.
Oh, I mean, that's okay. Probably true of 90% of the listeners.
Like the Matrix, but worse.
Mm. So do I roll for damage? Sorry. Dumb
yes.
question.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, not dumb question at all. It's been a while since we've shot yeah. things.
All right. So just one D8 then? Or
yes, if you're only firing the one pistol. Like if you're only... firing at two targets, you've only
Got
hit
it.
One
okay.
so far. So.
Come on. That's you're... an eight.
An eight. Good stuff. You sort of like square up with it. You fire kind of directly into it. The bullet hits it, but you're a little bit horrified to hear like a ping as it does so. It sounds a little bit like if you tried to shoot like a metal canister of some sort. You do see like a little spray of blood, but not as much as you'd hope, and certainly not a kill shot. Go ahead and roll your second attack. I mean, you would see that if you were looking rather than staring directly ahead while holding your guns at a cool akimbo angles.
And by second attack, do you mean just roll the d8 again, or am I rolling again?
You're rolling a separate shot.
Okay, gotcha.
Because you're shooting two different targets, so it's on two different.
That's an extreme success. That's a 9.
Great, that'll do. So go ahead and roll your d8, please.
7.
Great. Similar effect. This one pings off a limb. It kind of lurches, but kind of turns towards you with its, like, you know, it's got like big sort of four large arm legs that it's kind of turning towards you on. It's got like little smaller ones holding a gun. I was going to say reload, but they're lasers. So more so they just like square up with you while the rest of their compatriots go to war. Richter, Red is being faced down by Tumigo. You do not know what happened to Caddy, but Adrian seems to be on a murder spree. Oh, and sorry, I should also qualify. Claire, you yelled Adrian Diesel.
Yeah.
The figure does not turn.
Okay.
All right. I believe I have a shotgun.
You do, sir.
I'll run out into the rain to her, up behind her, and just try to blow one of these things away. And just, we'll see how that goes before I do anything else.
Sure.
All right. So you're looking for a shotgun roll?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I believe that will be firearms, rifle, shotgun.
Yes.
The one with shotgun in it.
Oh, okay. I rolled a 51. I will spend my last point of luck to make it a 50 and make that a success.
All right.
I am out of luck. Shit out of luck now.
Shit out of luck.
But that's a regular success. And I've never actually... I think I've never actually fired a shotgun for all the times I've held one. so I'm just look. I brought up a table here. It looks like it's 1d6 damage.
I think, well, let's give you a d10, Richter. Okay. It doesn't make any sense to me that Red's pistols would have more punch than your shotgun. Also, okay. I'm pretty sure the pulp rules give every weapon a little bit more.
Not have pulp. Okay, that might be why.
Because after all, it is two-fisted action and adventure against the mythos. So, you know.
I rolled a 4.
All right. What do you say as you fire your shotgun, if anything, or is it literally just like old man walking out in the rain, just determinedly? And
yep, it's just the stock is like locked into my shoulder, right, or into like my armpit, and fire off, and I see that it connects, and that's good enough for Richter, and he just yells to Red, like, Red, we must leave. We have to get out of the ocean.
I can't leave without him, Richter.
The Mego explodes from the shotgun blast. You guys can keep talking, but like fire, talk.
Ah! Yeah, we're like shooting and talking.
Yeah, great. Yeah, you're now back to back. Cool. Sorry, carry on.
Red, I cannot guarantee that is even the Addy that we know. The most important thing right now is to close the gate.
I did this to him, Richter.
This
I
is
can't
not,
just leave him.
This is not how we fix it, Red. This is not the way to fix it.
And you hear a voice say, Richter? And holding two separate parts of a deep one in his hands, Addy's head just twists full 180. And the smile becomes genuine. It goes from kind of predatory to legitimate joy. And the body twists after dropping the deep ones away. What do the two of you do?
Adrian.
Addy? No, it Red, we must
I
go.
I told you that I would see you again after you broke my idol.
And it rushes you. Caddy. You see that, but also they do not know that you have this cool boat. Also, there's someone in trouble, but also your friends are in trouble. And man, it's tough out here for a cat. What do you do?
He learned his lesson last time, which is he's got to break the castle and then all the bad stuff goes away. Because that's very much, I think, 12-year-old puzzle logic is ignore the things you don't know and just assume you did it. He would like to sneak in and try to like unmoor the boat because it's got to be tied to the sides or locked to something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. All right. So let's go with a... I don't actually think you necessarily need to roll a stealth yet. Because these Migo are very distracted. There's a lot going on. But I will have you roll a sleight of hand check. Sleight of paw, as I believe we've determined it is called.
Oh, that is a fail by 3.
Yeah, now I'm going to need that stealth check.
Yay! That is a hard success.
Great. So as you go to try and like use your little tiny kitty claws to carve the rope, you miss and you actually swing off the dock almost into the water. And in spite of yourself, you let out like a cat yowl. And the Migo begin to turn. Good news is because they have these kind of long, kind of like almost stegosaurus bodies. They can't really turn their heads that fast, so their whole body has to like skitter around. During which time, you climb up. Where do you hide?
In the body of the boat under a seating bench. I'm sure there are those benches that are like 6 inches out or whatever, in a little space underneath. I think he just dart right in there. Like, stay low. They're tall and they clearly can only look forward. So,
fair enough. In your head, since you've heard them before, I think it's you're better now at like picking up their weird kind of psychic communications. You just hear one of them say,
"I don't know, man. I think we need to get out of here now. The boss said to watch him and not to harm him, so we're gonna do that. But also, I think our friends are getting murdered."
Oh shit! These are Deep One, not Migo. My bad. Yeah, they still talk like that though. That's fine. They're fish people.
It holds up. Same performance.
Also, like you turning, they turn a bit faster. It's more like the raptors' heads just swivel. Fuck, man, too many monsters. And so you still like one threat, not all of them. So the Deep Ones say that out loud in their gargling horrific speech, They're clearly very nervous, but they aren't like actively searching for you.
From where I am, Tom, can I see any life jackets?
Yeah, absolutely. But they're like shitty 30s life jackets, but they are there. You know, the Titanic is still kind of living large in people's minds. Between that, like the Lusitania and all the like war disasters, people know. Got to have some kind of flotation now.
Are there any that could perhaps be child and or cat sized?
It's the 1930s, my friend. The adult ones are that size.
Yay! Caddy would like to, because he wants to save this man, but he knows he can't do it, and his friends are busy, and he's bad at swimming. But if he can get himself into a life jacket, then he doesn't have to do the swimming part. He's wet, but he just has to walk under the water while it holds him up. So he would like to sneak over and try to strap himself into a life jacket.
Yep. He sure does. Okay. I think it's got to be sleight of hand again. Just because I don't, nothing else on this fucking sheet is even remotely that.
Dexterity.
It's
that is exactly a success. Like the number. I rolled a 51. That's the score. Ooh. That one random point I had in character creation I put there. Success.
Amazing. You wrap yourself up like a little kitty burrito and doing that thing that dogs do sometimes when they jump off a dock, you hurl yourself and just kind of like flail your arms in the sky before plunging into the cold water. It's a shock to your system, but also you can't help but feel a little bit like a hero. All the pulp adventure novels you read a couple weeks ago when you were a human boy child are fresh in your memory as you begin to paddle What we didn't account for is the choppiness of the waves with this massive structure rising from the depths and sort of the blood palace around it, as well as the rain. It's damn choppy, which is an inconvenience to be sure, but isn't a true problem until the first kind of small wave pulls you under. And of course, you buoy back up. But not before your keen senses detect a large, dark shape moving not too far from you. Meanwhile, Red and Richter, you are being rushed by Addy Diesel. He's going at that blur speed. You have a moment to react. What do you do?
Throw myself out of the way. Probably take Richter with me, actually. I, if I may.
Okay, so roll me a dodge check, and this will be to like shoulder tackle Richter to the ground.
Okay.
And in dramatic comedy sense, you dive away and then jump back into frame and grab Richter and then try to dive away in time with him.
Exactly. I'm going to spend 1 point of luck to get that to a success.
Amazing. So seeing this freight train barreling towards you, you grab Richter and pull him to the ground, and Addy rushes past. It was clearly taking like a full swipe as he goes, so he kind of stumbles off balance, but as you're horrified to watch as he stumbles, he actually just goes with that momentum into a one-armed handstand, and then kind of rolling back up into full erect standing, and seems untroubled by the action. Although he does, you notice some kind of he stands perfectly erect for a moment, then his whole body starts to undulate a bit. You hear a sickening crack, and points come out at his elbows, at his knees, and the hair at the back of his head begins to part as a sharp dark point begins to rise out of the back of his scalp, and look, he just says, "Wow, you're faster than I thought. I must say, I'm pretty impressed. It will not stop me from feasting on your bones, but you have impressed me, my old nemesis."
Nyarlathotep? Is that you?
Yeah, in the flesh. And as he says that, he extends his arms, and they crack and stretch. His knees snap backward, his spine cracks and kind of juts forward, and he rises to a height of about 9 feet. The body of Adrian still kind of shifted between it. Smile grows slightly wider, and he says, "By the way, thanks for getting me this nifty body, Rector." And then arms wide, he begins to stalk towards you with murderous intent.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Great Dane, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears. Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a podcast which combines the art and beauty of classic literature with the fun of Dungeons & Dragons roleplay. These episodes are led by me, Kate, your master teacher, which is Dungeon Master meets High School English teacher. We take on quests in these fascinating worlds, meeting and adventuring with the greatest literary characters of all time, solving puzzles set up by the dubious Dr. Frankenstein.
One eye is over there, and the other eye is rolled over there.
Exactly right.
Hunting Moby Dick alongside Captain Ahab.
I've rolled a one.
Oh, you rolled a one!
Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a faithful yet irreverent way to interact with the stories which have influenced us for centuries. Plus, it's a much more exciting way to experience literature than writing an essay. Essays don't have swords which burst into flame, or poop monsters hiding in toilets.
Anybody got some poop for me?
A new episode of Mice and Men and Monsters is released every other Wednesday, wherever you listen to podcasts.